ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But for the disciples of Jesus, this departure would only be temporary. He's going to come again to receive them to himself. And as we move into chapter 14 next time, we're going to see Jesus explain this to his men, this statement of his, and giving them words of comfort, encouraging them, in words they're not going to leave them as orphans. That's a powerful section. Let me just share verses 1 through 4 of John 14. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where I go, you know, and you know the way." In other words, he's saying, guys, I'm going to go away for a time. We're going to be separated for a time, but please don't lose hope. Don't be troubled by this, because where I am going, you're going to also be with me. You know, after saying these words here in John 13, hearing those words in John 14 were pretty powerful. But again, they weren't really listening carefully, and maybe they didn't want to hear that Jesus was going away. That was a tough one. So he's speaking here of his departure to his men. And it's interesting, out of this, his going away, he's going to give them a new commandment. Look at verse 34 here in John 13. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let me share these words from Ray Stedman, and then I'll dig into this. It says, "At times I grow tired of the ugliness of our world." I think we're all in that. "Sickening reports of violence, rape, murder, drug traffic, pornography, and child abuse are flung at us constantly by television and newspapers. It's enough to make you want to either fade out or blow the whole mess up. In our local newspaper last week, there was a story that President Reagan, Konstantin Chernenko of the Soviet Union, and Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher of Britain were each given one wish they could have fulfilled. Listen to what they said. Reagan wished that a flood would cover Russia. That's interesting. Chernenko wished for an earthquake to swallow the United States. I don't think they liked each other. Margaret Thatcher replied, "Well, if those two wishes are granted, I would like a nice relaxing scotch and soda. The world is well supplied these days with naive and simplistic solutions to some of the terrible problems that grip us. Every day we see bumper stickers that suggest easy ways to solve our problems. Make love, not war. Arms are for embracing. Ban the bomb. I even saw one that said abolish hate. They're perfectly proper goals, but I grow weary of such mindless solutions." Yet when we turn to the wisdom of Jesus as he's teaching his disciples in the upper room on the very night in which he was betrayed, it sounds as if he too is suggesting the same kind of futile advice when he tells them to love one another. In the section for today found in John 13 of the Gospel of John, our Lord sends the traitor out from the midst of his disciples to do his dirty deed, then gives the disciples a new commandment that sums up all of the 10 old ones in one commandment and reveals to Peter his coming denial of the Lord in that order. The world is looking for love, right? They're just looking in all the wrong places. Perfect love is seen in Jesus. But now he's departing. And what is he telling his men? "This love that I have needs to be seen in you," right? Okay, if I'm filled with love and I minister love to people, now you, as my representatives, need to do that. And Jesus in this section starts out by saying, "A new commandment I give to you." When you read that, a new commandment, what do you think of? Something brand new, something we've never heard before. It's brand new. Well, that's not the Greek word that Jesus uses here. What Jesus is speaking of is that this new commandment is going to be explained more in depth. It's going to be richer and deeper than previously thought. In the Old Testament, it says about loving others, loving people, that you were to love them as you love yourself. That's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. It places others on the same or equal level with ourselves. Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm the Lord. Again, we place our love towards others on the same level as we love ourselves. That's the old covenant idea of love. John 13:34, we got the new one. It's expanded, it's broader, it's richer, it's deeper. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did Jesus love us? Because that's how we're to love people. That's what we need to look at. He loved us by placing our needs above his needs. He was willing to die for us. That's how much he loves us. And this is an agape love, an unconditional love, a sacrificial love. This is the greatest love there is. And it's not a human love. It's a supernatural love. You know, it's not that I'm going to love that person even though they're in my face. I'm just going to count to 10 and I'm just going to get more love. That's not how it works. That's human love. We love people as they love us. You can't manufacture this love. This is as we surrender our will to God's will, allow his love not only to fill our lives, but that love then to flow outward and touch the lives of others. What does Jesus say? This is my commandment that you love one another, right? How many of your Bibles say, this is my suggestion? And it doesn't say that, does it? I know some of us and probably all of us are thinking, I wish at times it had. This is a suggestion for you, but it's not. He didn't say, if you feel like it, love one another as I loved you. Or if they treat you nice, love one another as I have loved you. He said, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And this love is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. And your will needs to be in tune with the will of God. And so you're to love one another as Christ loves you. Are you willing to lay down your life for people who don't deserve it? The reality is none of us do. None of us deserve God's love. And now he says, go love others. Yeah, we're to love people like we love ourselves, but that's just a human love. And Jesus takes it up a level. He says, now you need to love like I love you. Supernatural. It's a hard one. In fact, Jesus makes it really hard in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. Be honest with you, I can really love people that are really nice to me. I have no problem with that. But when they are in my face, isn't it amazing how fast the flesh can resurrect itself? I'm doing good, I'm walking with God, and someone all of a sudden does something. It's like, where did that come from? Well, that's the flesh. That's your will. What Jesus said in Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The mark of a Christian is love. And Jesus is the example that he left us with. Wow. Love our enemies. And think about it. If we only love those who love us, are we any different than the world? Do we really need God's help to love those who love us? No, we don't need God's help. We need God's help to love those that are enemies, who persecute us, who spitefully use us. Yeah, Lord, I need your help here because I want to take his head off. And I know that's not a fruit of the Spirit, so help me here, Lord, please. Remember this evening, it's Passover, and Jesus is sharing the Passover meal. But at this time, Judas is there who would betray him, and he's seated in the place of honor. Jesus sat him there in the place of honor. Also, the piece of bread that was dipped in the sop, that was reserved for the honored guest. Yes, Jesus used that to point Judas as the one who would betray him. But look at what Jesus is doing. He is loving Judas to the end. And it's right after this, Satan entered Judas and he left and it was night. Night outside, night in his heart, he was lost. But Jesus, look at the love he showed this man who was going to betray him. Unconditional love, agape love. And now Jesus says, I want you to love like that. You're carrying on the work of the ministry for me. Again, what is the mark of a Christian? What identifies us as a Christian? And we can have all kinds of answers. You know, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, yeah, that's a good answer, but how is that manifested in our lives? What do people see? I mean, there's a lot of people out there that claim to be Christian. You look at their behavior and you go, I don't know. What is the identifying mark of a Christian? How many Bible verses you can quote? Bible t-shirts that have verses on them? Or turn and burn or whatever? No. Christian bumper stickers? Those are deadly. You got a Christian bumper sticker on your car and you're driving like the devil. Not a good thing. But that doesn't identify you as a Christian. Jesus says here, by this you will know, they will know that you are my disciples. Love is the key. You know, most people wouldn't think about that, but it is love. You look at church history, that's not always been the case. But it's not Jesus' fault, it's individuals, our own fault, as we surrender to the flesh and we don't surrender to the will of God. And I realize, you know, people can be very obnoxious and rude and loud and all kinds of things as Christians. And they say, well, you know, they came against me and it's just righteous indignation. Most of the time it's not. It's just your bad behavior. Jesus said in Matthew, you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for being obnoxious. Big difference. Let me give you an example. You think about how you would respond. You're arrested and you did absolutely nothing wrong. They try you. And they try and get you to confess your crime, the one you didn't commit. So they give you the third degree. They beat you up. You lose a lot of blood. They punch you around. Your face is so battered, you don't even look like a man anymore. You know, the old Rocky movie, Rocky One, Adrian, you know, his face is all swollen. Yeah, that's how you are. The court system, forget about the court system. You're guilty because they want you dead. So you're placed on a cross, and the crowds yell at you. They mock you. They spit on you. What would you do? People cut us off the road, and the words we say probably aren't very nice. Imagine this going on. Well, what did Jesus do? He's our example, right? One of his last remaining breaths as he hung on the cross of Calvary, he cried out, Father, toast him. Oh, no, he didn't say that. That's good. I'm glad. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Really, that's love. Did they deserve forgiveness? No. They deserve death. Look what they're doing. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And there's our example. And if we're struggling in this area, if our hearts are growing cold, we need to ask God to help us. Paul in Galatians 5:15 warned. He said, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Be careful. You know, many years ago, there was a Christian song, they will know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. That's what Jesus is talking about here. They will know we are Christians by our love. It's interesting because when things are going well, when Trump was in office, everything seemed to be going pretty smoothly for most part, everyone was happy, Christians were all getting along, you know, there was no conflict. And then what happened? Well, then COVID at the end of Trump's administration and then on into President Biden's administration. COVID shots came out and people are fighting amongst each other over COVID. COVID shots, get them, don't give them. Complaining about world leaders forming a one world government, eliminating money and making a new monetary system, turning our country into a socialist nation. Are those things happening? Yeah. What was on the heart of Jesus before he was crucified? Love one another. And what I've seen is Christians fighting amongst each other over this. Oh, you got the shot. Oh, you didn't get the shot. And all these other things. What's the point? I mean, we have to think about this. The enemy loves to divide and conquer, right? Can you show me in the Bible COVID? Pestilence in the end times. Okay, I agree. We're seeing more pestilence. We're going to see more things happening down the road. But not specifically COVID. Who cares? Who really cares? Is our mission to prevent people from getting the shot so they don't die? Or is our mission to get the shot so they don't die? No, it's not our mission. Our mission is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Are we willing to let people die in their sins because of our bad behavior, because we refuse to love? You think about all the things that must have been on the mind of Jesus. The night before his crucifixion, think about that. All the things that were on his heart. He knew what was coming. And he tells him, you need to love like I love. And really, I'm just warning you ahead of time, chapters 13 on through 17. You know what the focus that Jesus is telling his men about is love. And I find that fascinating. We have to be careful because are things in this world going to get worse? Absolutely. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me it is. Is there going to be one world government? Absolutely. When? I don't know, but it seems like it's getting closer. Is there going to be a one world monetary system? Yeah, absolutely. It's right there. One world religious system. Yeah, we see it. We see churches today. Look, you know, the Pope just signed alliances with the Islamic faith that they're worshiping the same God, which, sad to say, they are worshiping the same God, but it's not the God of the Bible. Sorry. You can send your emails to Julie. I love this command, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's so simple and yet so hard. And again, we could tell how we're doing by the way we respond. And if we're struggling, we got to deal with it. In Galatians 5, Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. It's manifested in many different ways. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How is it manifested in our lives? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, true agape love is manifested in the things we do, the things we say, how we behave ourselves. But many times self gets in the way of loving as Christ calls us to love. And if we struggle in this area, and I'm sure we all struggle from time to time, because there are people that love to push our buttons, right? They know which ones will get us, and we have to be careful. Lord, help me. Before we speak, shoot up a prayer, Lord. Give me the words to say, because if what I want to say is not good, I need your help here. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's a pretty big, bold statement. Why is that so important? Because Jesus said the love of many will grow cold. In these last days, the love of many will grow cold. Look at this world. It's all about self. Yeah, they want love, but they want love, a love that the world gives. You take care of all my needs. Agape love is, I'm going to take care of all your needs. So as we show the love of Christ to people, it opens their eyes. Hey, there's something different about you. I just reamed you out, and yet, you were nice to me. What's up with that? And it gives you a door, an opportunity to share Christ. Does that happen all the time? Absolutely not. Sometimes they continue to ream you out. That's just the way it is. But you love them. Care for them as Jesus cares for us. In 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul said, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." There it is. Maybe if we're struggling in this area, we need to spend more time with God. Right? Because Paul said, God has taught us how to love. And if we're messing up on that, spend more time in here than in the world, because the world's love is horrible. You know, Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13. Before he gave the definition of what agape love is, and I believe 1 Corinthians 13 gives us the definition, he said this in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Love needs to rule our lives more than speaking in tongues. You know, some churches, you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. Foolishness. Maybe you know the Word of God very well, and yet when you speak, there's no love. Or maybe you understand the deep things of God and get no love. What is this love? What's a definition of agape love? Yeah, we said unconditional love, but Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4, tells us, agape love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You see, you can't produce that on your own. That's a supernatural gift of God. We need to let all things we do be done with love, guys. You know, John, who wrote this gospel and also wrote 1 John, talked about this. He was there this night when Jesus was saying these things. And in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's a powerful point, isn't it? Look at how much God loves us. Now go and love like he does. Yeah, I can't do that on my own. This is a new commandment. We'll finish up. We'll look at, listen carefully, here in verse 36, the last point, where John writes this. He says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. So Jesus tells Peter and the rest of his men that he's going to go in a way, he's going to die, and they can't follow him. And I think Peter understood what Jesus was saying. Peter says, I'll lay down my life for you, for your sake, Lord. What devotion. But it was based on emotion for Peter. He wanted to die for the Lord, but it's a lot harder to live for the Lord, isn't it? Dying is, it's over. Living day in and day out, it's a lot harder. Peter, when he was going to be put to death, they were going to crucify him like the Lord. And tradition tells us, not the scriptures, but tradition tells us, that Peter didn't want to die like the Lord. He didn't feel worthy. And so he said, crucify me upside down. I can't even imagine. And he was crucified upside down. The problem for Peter and these men is that they didn't want to listen to what Jesus was saying. They had their ideas. They had positions in the kingdom, they thought, and they were willing to fight for the Lord. And it's easy to get fired up and make all kinds of statements about what we're going to do. But when push comes to shove, what did Peter say? I don't know this man. I don't know who you're talking about. I was never with him, right? Peter believed in his abilities and the area he thought he was the strongest in. He ended up failing. He denied the Lord. The Lord knew Peter better than Peter knew himself, and the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And he will break us of our self-will, so we'll look to him to be the strength of our life. But we have to listen. And I love that the Lord prays for us like he was praying for Peter. Yeah, he knew Peter was going to betray him, and he knew that Satan was trying to sift him as wheat. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you, that your faith shouldn't fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I don't know if Peter heard those words at that time, when you return to me, because I think Peter gave up. I blew it. I failed the Lord. I'm going to go back fishing. And Jesus spoke to Peter at the end of the Gospel of John and restored him. And that's what the Lord, we're going to blow it, guys. Do you really think that we're going to, you know, be perfect in our Christian walk? We're not. We're going to blow it. But always remember, the Lord is praying for us and he'll lift us up. But we have to look to him. So important. God is continuing to work in our lives, guys. And I love that. We're to listen to the Lord. We're to let his love not only fill our lives, but flow from our lives and touch others. We need to love as he loves. And again, you can't manufacture that love. The world can't give you that kind of love. Only God can. So we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit, allow him to empower us to love unconditionally the saved and the unsaved. That when people look at our lives, they'll know we're Christians by what? By our love, right? And when things heat up, and I think they will continue to heat up in our country and in the world, I think there's going to be more divisions within, even within churches, as they try and get us to compromise what we believe in. As they begin to call the Bible, like they've done in Canada, a hate book, and you can't teach from certain passages of the Bible. And what is the church going to do? What are we going to do? Tell you what, I'm not going to let the fear of man drive me away. I'm going to let the fear of God point me in the right direction. And so whatever the world says, that's what they have to deal with. But I love people too much not to tell them what is right and what is wrong. If I hated people, do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But I love them, and God loves them. And I'm to show that love to others. And I'll close with these words from Jesus. Again, it's what we read here this morning. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words this morning. Difficult words. Again, to have that kind of love in a world that is so hateful towards Christians right now. And I think it's going to get worse. But Lord, we need the surrender to your Spirit, and let the love you've given us flow not only in our lives, but through our lives to touch those around us. May we reach out to people, because these people are hurting. There's a void in their life, and they don't even know what they're missing, and they're so antagonistic towards God. And yet, may the love of Christ be that icebreaker that penetrates their heart, that they would come to saving faith. Help us to have that agape love, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.